Hello.
Hello and good morning. How are you doing, Stacy?
I'm good. How are you, Arrow?
Absolutely fantastic. Wow, 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 when it comes to this book, because there's one thing that I picked up on it, and I hope other people do as well. This is a book about making a choice, and I like that. It pulls me deeper into the story because it touches your heart in that way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, Winston is a kid who makes, who gets to make, like, the choice that we all want to make as a kid. Which magic item do I want? And sadly, he has itchy fingers, so he doesn't choose the thing that he wants. He ends up with, instead of one of the magical items on the shelf, like a fuzzy ukulele that can put people in a good mood, or a flying pinata, he chooses an old broomstick, which comes with a free dustpan. So that's kind of a bummer, you know.
But you know what's so funny about that, Stacy, is that, you know, when I first came across that, I giggled like a child because, you know, the broom and the dustpan, to me, it gave me a different vision. It's like yesterday when I was out and I was at the Creed movie premiere and I met the guy who fills the buses with gasoline. And I was so inspired by that. And I looked at him, I said, people still have to do that. And so, like, when he touches that broom and that dustpan, I'm going, people have to do this. We're going to see a different rock star here.
Yes, that's true. I mean, what magic. See, he doesn't get what he wants, but maybe he gets what he needs, right?
Yes.
And the groom can have, like, a lot of potential. He just doesn't know.
And see, and that's what's great about the, about writing is that you give people that opportunity to see the potential, to look at their own personal lives. How did you learn how to make that connection with readers?
I think that I just think about, I often think, okay, what would I have liked as a kid? And what would have entranced me as a kid? And that is often what makes it into the book, because I think so much of that is universally true. We all want to fly, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
I always wanted to fly. I always wanted one of those, I always, did you watch the movie Bed Knobs and Broomsticks?
Oh, heck yes.
Yes, a magic flying bed. Didn't we want that? We all wanted that. So I think about things like that and those universal things that kids want. And I love writing about them. I think any book that has flying in it is a book that I want to read.
You know what's really interesting is that you don't write in a way that this is for YA readers. I really do envision adults picking up Winston Chu and going, you know what? I'm not only going to have a vision of my own childhood, but I'm going to live vicariously through Winston so I can look at other children enjoying their explorations as well.
Yes, I think that's so true. I'm a big middle grade reader myself. I love listening to audiobooks.
Yep.
Because middle grade readers... I don't know. It's like you're allowed to have fun in those books, right? And when you listen to the audiobooks, the narrators are allowed to have expression and just do crazy things and do all the voices. I love all the voices. It's just so entertaining. And, you know, people are not afraid to laugh and make potty humor jokes. I think that's all, like, up my alley.
Well, how about catching and flying pieces of pizza?
That's right. All of that, right? Possibility. And it's funny you mentioned that, because I have heard from readers who are, like, in their 90s, and they're still reading young adult, middle grade, which I love, because I think I'm going to be that person. I'm going to be in my 90s, and I'm still going to be reading stuff like this.
Oh, absolutely, because you're right. It does. It's entertaining. You can go in there and you know, basically just, you know, just feel free without having to have, you know, politics and this and that. Oh, I got to read this. It's a book of motivation. No, this is a book of escape.
That's right. Yeah, you can't read too many of those nonfiction books. Mm-hmm. My dad only reads nonfiction books, and I'm always trying to get him to read one of my books. Always trying to get him. But he'll read, like, the first chapter, and he'll be like, okay, that's enough. Hey, Dad, just read the whole thing. How about just the whole thing? But he likes his nonfiction, so... What do you do?
One of the things that you're very good at is that taking Chinese folklore and modernizing it in a world known as San Francisco. That's so awesome that you're able to connect the two nations.
Ah, thank you. Well, I'm not someone grew up with Chinese mythology, but I grew up with the Western fairy tales, and Little Mermaid was my favorite fairy tale, the Hans Christian Andersen Little Mermaid. It was really, when I started raising kids, I wanted them to be able to speak the language. I wanted them to learn Mandarin. And as part of their studies of Mandarin, they learned some folk tales. And they'd bring home these books that they were supposed to read with me. And I learned about the Cloud Weaver and the Cowherd, which is like one of the main fairy tales for kids, for Chinese kids. And I was surprised to learn that this story is a lot like The Little Mermaid, except The Little Mermaid is a cloud weaver who spins the weather through her fingertips. And the mortal she falls in love with is a cowherd. Like The Little Mermaid, the love is forbidden, and a river of stars is created between them to keep them apart. Though her mother, the mother cloud weaver, takes pity on the pair and creates this bridge of magpies once a year so they can meet, which I love learning that there's, you know, Little Mermaid and the cloud weaver and the cowherd. Kids, teenagers all over the world are still not listening to their parents. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. That is still the theme. And I thought it just needed to be set in San Francisco because San Francisco has such great weather. I mean, aside from a little fog now and then, but having the cloud weavers mess with the weather was just like so fitting.
Your imagination, I just envision you on that computer, and when you finish your pages, and I don't know what your daily discipline is, how many words you have, you know, are you doing 2,000 words a day? But you must, when you close down for the day, there's got to be a beautiful smile on your face because you know that you've just written something that is going to enhance the imagination.
Oh, that's so nice of you. Sometimes it's not a smile, sometimes it's a grimace, to be honest, because I haven't quite hit what I needed to, and I'm not talking about words, but maybe like the scene is not working right. Mm-hmm. 2,000 words would be awesome. I think that would be like so great, but that doesn't always happen. And I certainly am one of those writers who, have you heard of a panster versus a plotter? Have you heard that expression?
No.
A panster versus a plotter. Okay, so I'm definitely a panster, which is someone who writes more by the seat of their pants, hence the term panster, versus someone who is more meticulous about outlining, a plotter. And I often think, oh, well, I should really learn to be a plotter one day, and maybe I wouldn't take so many wrong turns. But I think that's just part of my process, is to take the wrong turns in order to find the right place, which is the life of a panster. So I definitely... I don't have a set word count a day. I let inspiration hit. I usually write in the evening. I'm usually writing between the hours of 10 p.m. and 3 a.m.
Really?
Those are my quiet hours and my most productive hours. And hopefully I can go to bed with a smile on my face.
Wow. I talk with more musicians that do that same exact time. That's their time to go into the studio to write music. It absolutely is.
Oh my gosh, I love hearing that. That's good to know.
Wow. Now, so you must trust stream thinking then, you know, just because, I mean, I love that, you know, and that might be the lawyer coming out in you, because you don't know what's going to be playing out inside that courtroom. So therefore you've got to, I don't want to say fly by the seat of your pants, but in a way you've got to be ready and activated.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I definitely think I have one of those brains that, like, I like to liken it to a clothes dryer. It's always spinning. Whatever is, like, thrown into it for the day, it's always spinning through that and sucking out the moisture of whatever goes in there on, you know, it's just rolling and rolling. And, you know, the lint trap part of it is where I think the whimsies come from, the strange and weird and wonderful. You never know what you're going to find in the lint trap, right? Sometimes you'll find strange green yarn or a rubber band. Sometimes the stuff gets in there. That's how my brain works.
What a creative imagination, even with the way, because it's almost like you're allowing the universe to move through you. If you can take a piece of string and turn it into something where we laugh about it, that is the universe using you, because you just, even in talking with you, it's like my God, this is like her books.
Thank you. Well, that's just, yeah, I do a lot of laundry.
Yeah. So now we know that, you know, the book right now, Winston Chu, is available. But as a writer, you're already on to that next project. Can you talk about it? What is the next one? Is it a follow-up? What happens next to you as a writer?
Sure. So I just finished the first draft of the sequel, actually.
Yes.
Entitled Winston Chu versus the Wingmeisters. It's also set in San Francisco. There are a lot more birds in this one. I can tell you, I had to do a lot of research on Treasure Island for this one. Do you know Treasure Island?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So for those who don't know San Francisco, Treasure Island is an island about 1 square mile built in the San Francisco Bay in the 1930s. And it was built for the 1939 World Fair, which is, for those kiddies who don't know, my kids don't know what that is, an international exhibition to showcase the achievements of nations across the world, like a Disney World, a mini Disney World. It ran about a year or two and then was dismantled, leaving no trace of what was a spectacular 10,000 light wonderland back then. It was really spectacular. The Navy took it over. Parts of the island are still actually radioactive from some of the work they did there. So I thought this was like the perfect setting for a place where magic could happen. And, you know, Winston will be getting into a lot more trouble, let's just say.
Oh, my God. I can't wait. I can't wait. Stacey, you got to come back to this show anytime in the future. The door is always going to be open for you.
I would love to. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, you be brilliant and you keep writing and touching those imaginations.
I will. Absolutely.